Kick back, listen and chill to what I be speaking, cause what I have to say to you right now is very intriguing. I'm talking about the ways of the Ojibwe people that seem to be leaving. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the seven teachings. So what are the seven teachings? Number one, respect. Respect is something that we seem to neglect, and if you take a look at the world, it's starting to have a big effect. So maybe we should all take a look in the mirror and put ourselves in check, because the world could be a lot better place if we showed each other some more respect. Number two, truth. Truth is something that I should be spitting in the booth. Truth is something that could be easy to take or harder than your tooth. Truth is something that people claim to have all the way through the roof, but it's also something they forget about when they get caught in a coup. Truth is something that we gotta learn to express. It's gotta come through our hearts and our chests, not so much through our brains when we stress. Number three, wisdom. Wisdom is something you obtain when you sit down and listen. And to obtain it, some of my natives went to college and some of my natives went to prison. To have wisdom is to know that you have a gift and a reason, and you maximize on it and utilize it all four seasons. Just know that you have a gift. Number four, honesty. Honestly, to be honest, it ain't like reading a book or learning Ebonics. It's kind of like learning to be true, to hold, and to keep your promise. To be honest is to speak from your heart and to leave your head, and you pick apart the dark and don't speak when your vision is red. Number five, humility. Humility is to be humble, and to be humble is to keep it together when everything's seeming to crumble. Like you in the pitch black dark in the middle of a jungle, but when adversity comes your way, you ready to rumble. You get up after you've been knocked down, and you get up again after you tumble. Cause there's been times in my life where people tried to belittle me, and it was in those moments I had to express my humility. Number six, courage. To be courageous is to do the right thing when you have every opportunity to do what's wrong. So I gotta take the opportunity to say good things inside of my songs. I gotta talk about what's really real and what's really going on. To be courageous is to do the right thing, and you pick apart the darkness, you see the happiness the light brings. You do what's right and you find your own light. Number seven, love. Love. It ain't always a white wedding and flying doves, but it's something that we could express to each other because we have those feelings for the ones that are above. Love is something that I'm wishing to see. Love is something that the Creator gave to us unconditionally. Love is something as simple as telling your people, Gajay Wayne Amen, when you see them. Aho, the seven teachings.
That was Thomas X with his song, Seven Teachings. Thomas is going to be performing at the Rail River Folk School this Sunday afternoon as part of a special event that will include the viewing of a brand new documentary called Line 3, Seven Teachings of the Anishinaabe in Resistance. Winona LaDuc of Honor the Earth will also be at the Rail River Folk School on Sunday. She'll be answering questions and having conversations about, among other things, protecting the water and the earth. I spoke with her briefly about the work that she's doing with Honor the Earth, as well as humans' dependence on fossil fuels, the documentary that'll be showing on Sunday, and some new projects that she's focusing on.
We have about a fifth of the world's water, and a lot of it is getting contaminated by agriculture and mining, and we have the threats of more contamination, and I want to protect it because water's life.
Honor the Earth has been around for 27 years. What goes on at Honor the Earth?
We work on environmental justice issues, and we work with a lot of communities around North America, both supporting them and then doing a lot of work with music and the arts to reaffirm our indigenous thinking.
How and when did you really feel ignited to take this on?
You know, I've been doing this work that I do since I was about 18. So we'll go with 42 years. You know, it's what I do in my life, which is, you know, I feel like I work for Mother Earth, and I want to do the best I can to reaffirm our covenant, our relationship with Mother Earth, and our responsibilities. And through Honor the Earth is largely how I do that. I know that all of my instructions and my life is dependent upon having a good relationship with the natural world. And, you know, there's a lot of, in this time, which I think we refer to sometimes as affluenza, we're so affluent that people don't even relate to the natural world. They go from their air-conditioned house to their air-conditioned car, or their heated house to their car that they started up outside. And, you know, then they cruise off and in really challenging environmental circumstances to their next location. And somehow in that, we got the idea that humans are smarter than the natural world, and we could do whatever we want to because we're undefeatable in terms of our ability. And to be honest, I feel like you don't want to pick a fight with Mother Nature because you're not going to win. And that's a little bit of where we are at this moment in time. We've picked some big fights with Mother Nature, and, you know, we really need to transform what we're doing. You know, for instance, on the Enbridge pipeline battle, I mean, there's a lot of alternatives to more oil. And the fact is that on a worldwide scale, fossil fuel divestment is up, including in the tar sands, you know, a 10% drop in tar sands production. And when the Koch brothers moved out of the tar sands, sold all their assets this summer, the Koch brothers did. They were the largest landholder in the tar sands. And that's the dirtiest oil in the world and the most expensive oil in the world to get out at $82 a barrel. When the Koch brothers sold all their tar sands assets, you know, they did so at a great loss. And you know that the Koch brothers didn't do that because they wanted to. They did that because they didn't really have a lot of financial recourse. So my feeling is really, you know, at this point in time, Minnesota really needs to look at how much more risk we need to take for pipelines and what it's worth. Is it worth shooting people to put in a Canadian pipeline project? Is it worth destroying, you know, social relations? Is it worth destroying aquifers and wild rice for a Canadian corporation? Or, you know, do we want to do something else? And I feel like that no matter how you look at it, at this moment in time, we can do some good things, and we should just do that. Instead of, you know, dumb things, we should move towards electric cars because they're 65% efficient as opposed to, you know, the gas engine I got up here in, which is 16% efficient. We should move towards efficiency, and we should relocalize. And now we can make some choices. And the fact is that change is going to happen. It's a question of who controls the change. And I kind of like a graceful transition out of the fossil fuel era. I don't want to crash my way out. I appreciate my entire life, which has been predicated on a lot of access to fossil fuels. And now I'd like to move towards less energy use and a lot more renewables and make some peace with Earth.
Make some peace with Earth. You kind of have your finger on the pulse of all the legal stuff that's happening with Line 3. What is going on?
You know, if, you know, 60 hearings later, you know, the state of Minnesota wasn't prepared for these pipeline projects. The Public Utilities Commission had no idea. You know, they didn't even want to do an environmental impact statement on either the Sandpiper or Line 3. And submitting pipelines of that scale with no EIS is kind of like unimaginable in a regulatory framework that we should have. We should have regulations that address the gravity of the decisions. And we don't. You know, we have regulations that are so, you know, circumcised by sets of different micro regulations and certain boxes that you got to fit in. But there's no cumulative assessment of these pipelines that talks about the 250 million, you know, cubic tons of CO2 that we're going to be releasing into the environment with this pipeline. And as the world bakes and is on fire, it's really not something that we need. So for 7 years, Honor the Earth and the White Earth Band, the Red Lake and Mille Lacs bands, as well as local citizens, have been fighting these pipelines, forcing them into a regulatory process. Where we are at now is that last year, the Minnesota Appeals Court threw out the environmental impact statement, saying that there was no assessment, and, you know, overturned the EIS, which then forced a new EIS supplement that has just been completed by the Public Utilities Commission. The hearing on that was held in Duluth.
Were you there? What was it like over in Duluth at that hearing?
Fully packed with Minnesota pipeliners and Enbridge employees. Couldn't even actually stand in the lobby without getting in trouble because Enbridge had pretty much bought the entire Radisson. I found it really alarming that Minnesotans for Line 3 represents itself as a grassroots organization, when in fact the board of directors is actually Enbridge. And so looking at that and looking at how our process has been like hijacked by Enbridge with $11 million worth of lobbying, you know, we're now in this process where the legal case has gone through in the appeals court, and now we're in regulatory hearings on the environmental impact statement that was revised by the Public Utilities Commission. And in that revised environmental impact statement, they still don't talk about what happens if the tar sands oil hits Lake Superior.
Did you say they don't talk about what happens if the tar or oil hits Lake Superior?
They did a study that ended up in Little Otter Creek, which doesn't even go into Lake Superior, and, you know, use that as the basis for the revised EIS. So, you know, we will all appeal that legally, and we will, you know, continue to point out to the state of Minnesota, which last time appealed the certificate of need, which is the justification for the pipeline in terms of a need for Minnesota. It has to benefit the people of Minnesota. And since this pipe passes through Minnesota and tar sands oil has become less and less economical to produce, and climate change comes upon us at a faster and faster rate, the state of Minnesota Department of Commerce should once again challenge the certificate of need of the proposed Line 3. So we're in this convoluted process. You know, a lot of people are suffering from what I would call regulatory exhaustion. How many times can you cry and go to a hearing and tell the same story? You know, it makes Minnesota look like the regulators don't actually care. Because a number of times we went there to the Public Utilities Commission or DOC hearings and just felt like they didn't hear us. Like when no means no, it should actually mean no. You know, is really continues to be perplexing to me, you know, as someone who wants the system to work. So regulatory hearings this next week at the Public Utilities Commission, reviewing the EIS, and then, you know, continuing both the legal cases and the regulatory cases. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has yet to decide if it's going to approve or not approve the water quality permits provided by Enbridge to the Minnesota PCA. Although Enbridge, in its testimony, clearly said that it cannot actually meet Minnesota water quality standards. It said that. They are hoping that the MPCA will approve the water quality permits for the 44 wild rice watersheds that it's going to cross with the Mississippi River. Those decisions will not be made until later in the spring. And so it's really this long and prolonged process. And I just feel really that I would like the system to work in Minnesota. And if the system works, there would be no pipeline, because there's no more facts that we could present to enlighten the Public Utilities Commission as to why this pipeline is a bad idea. What we need is a way out. Yesterday, I stopped at a really nice little restaurant near Lake George and had a little something to eat. And a woman came in and just started like yelling at me. I don't like what you do. I don't like what you're saying. I want that pipeline. She was so agitated at me. And I get that in some frequency. And I feel like we just really need a way out of this. We don't need more racism in northern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We don't need more hating. We don't need that. What we need is to move on to the next economy. After all, we didn't leave the Stone Age because we ran out of rocks. You know, and now's the time to move out of fossil fuels and do cool stuff and not hate each other. You know, so to me, this is this opportunity to do the right thing in Minnesota, and I'm going to stand for it and demand that my state does the right thing, and I'm going to be here. And, you know, I don't want to be shot for a Canadian pipeline company.
That is Winona LaDuc. Her organization, Honor the Earth, has a mission to create awareness and support for Native environmental issues and to develop necessary financial and political resources for the survival of sustainable Native communities. Honor the Earth is presenting a documentary film this Sunday at the Rail River Folk School in Bemidji. The film is called Line 3, Seven Teachings of the Anishinaabe in Resistance. So let's talk about the film. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about how the Seven Teachings of the Anishinaabe do play into the effort of resistance.
Well, the film is a film about the present state of the battle on Line 3, but it's framed really well by Thomas Barrett, or Thomas X, out of Red Lake, who talks about the seven teachings of the Anishinaabe: humility, courage, love, thinking into generations ahead. You know, in this moment in time, we are at this moment where the Anishinaabe have always said that there's a choice between two paths. One is well-worn but scorched, and the other is not well-worn and it's green. We're always told it'd be our choice upon which path to embark. And I feel like at this moment in time, that's where we are. And this pipeline is really about that moment of what we want to do for the water and for the future. And so this story and this film, it's a very short film, a half-hour film, that has been up-to-date, showing the commitment of people on the front lines and the brutality that Enbridge has resorted to put in a pipeline, a Canadian corporation coming in here demanding a lot and increasingly militarizing northern Minnesota. So this is a little bit of that story, and we just wanted to, you know, premiere it in Bemidji. We're doing a set of smaller premieres. It's going to some film festivals nationally, but we really wanted to just offer it in the North Country and continue to inform people about what's going on with the pipeline and ensure people that, you know, we need to stand and ask representatives like John Purcell to say, you know, this is too much risk to Minnesota, not just to the water, not just because of climate change, but to the social well-being of this state, to not create a civil war for a Canadian corporation.
So you'll be there on Sunday?
I will. I'll be there on Sunday, and I'll be just answering some questions. And then the other thing I want to say is that I'm working primarily on the Green New Deal or the next economy. You know, my interest is not in a fossil fuels economy, but my interest is in renewable energy You know, the fact is that all of the tribes up here are moving more and more rapidly into renewable energy, and these rural co-ops need to follow suit, as does Minnesota Power, as does Xcel. We need to move into more local foods, and I myself am a hemp farmer, and I'm interested in fiber hemp, because it turns out that anything you do with fossil fuels, you can pretty much do with hemp. So I'm ready for the next economy, and I'm going to be doing a lot of work on the Indigenous Green New Deal, and I think it's really time for that up north. And we want to solve problems. We don't want to make new ones. That's my thinking. Time to solve some problems, not make new ones. The thing is that there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and once people get an idea that cool stuff can not only happen but is happening, it gets easier to imagine where we're going.
That is Winona LaDuc. She will be at the Rail River Folk School in Bemidji this Sunday. She'll be part of the premiere screening of the film Line 3, Seven Teachings of the Anishinaabe in Resistance. That event starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. And joining her will be Thomas X and Brendan Strong. To follow along with the work that Honor the Earth is doing, you can go to honorearth.org. I'm Katie Carter. Thanks for listening to Area Voices today. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.